Now, for some writers, their own direct experience of a traumatic event might be one way to work through it. But for my next guest, her own story never really became the stuff of her playwriting. Jane Harrison told a collective story in her award-winning play, Stolen, which toured nationally and internationally. The first production was directed by Wesley Enoch. It was the story of the impact of being removed as it plays out in the lives of five children in dramatic and minute ways. But in 1997, as she was putting the finishing touches to that play, Stolen, Jane Harrison experienced a heartbreaking loss of her own. And it's the deeply personal backstory to her latest play, Born Still. And it began with a short story published a few years ago.
Yes, I wrote this version back in 2010, always intending for it to be to develop into a play, but I had the story published in an anthology through State Library of Queensland. So this is really the short story version. Born Still. Friday afternoon, the colour of the sky, the yellow-green of jacaranda leaves against the intense blue sky. It's August. I sit on the edge of the hospital bed, looking out the window. There's nothing else to do. Yellow-green against blue. It's mid-afternoon. I wait alone. Now it is the day before yesterday, Wednesday, and I'm wiping the kitchen cupboards. The brand new kitchen is covered in fine brown building dust. It's warm for August, which is why Possum is running around wearing only a t-shirt. Wipe, wipe, rinse the cloth. Then I'm lying down on the cheap sofa we installed while we owner built. An island of foam comfort in the tsunami of a building site. Mummy, why are you lying down? My 2.5-year-old, who seldom saw me still, let alone lolling about, especially with a house to build, especially as a mother of a 2.5-year-old. Mummy's waiting to feel the baby move. I'm 36 weeks pregnant. Hugely. Being the second baby, you don't look like you have a size 5 basketball shoved up your t-shirt. It's more like a big, messy pillow. Is the baby moving? Let's lie together and see. I actually don't usually write about my own lived experience. Sometimes I feel that a fictional story is the best way to tell a collective story. But in this case, I did have the story of having a stillborn baby between my two daughters. And it'll be on the 12th of July this year. It'll be 21 years since that happened to me. And I really think that it's a story that's quite universal. It's across women, all women. And yet it's not talked about very much at all. It's kind of a hidden story. I don't think it's taboo, but there's not the places or opportunities for people to talk about it. So I thought a play is just such an awesome place, intimate place, to sort of have that kind of cathartic experience. So hopefully I'm doing that with the play.
That must be a challenge.
Well, in some ways, I think because I had that time to reflect after my child, Evangeline, was the only name we had chosen for our baby. She was born in 1997. So I had quite a lot of time to reflect on that experience. And when I sat down, I had a writing in residence opportunity. The story just flowed out of me verbatim. I think because the details, when you're going through that kind of grief, they're so stuck in your mind. I mean, I think I can remember the exact shade of blue the sky was and the exact shade of the jacaranda leaves against that sky when I sat on that hospital bed and looked out the window. So, you know, it's the specificity of my story that I hope actually allows a kind of a collective story to be told.
And you did that with Stolen, your award-winning play of some years ago. And it occurs to me that now, just talking about the timeline, where does the loss of Evangeline fit with the writing of the play Stolen?
Yes, well, that's another thing. I was in the last stages of workshopping the play in Melbourne when I got pregnant with Evangeline. So again, there was that kind of feeling of, I don't know what, you know, I felt so connected to the community at that stage because I was working with them, workshopping the play, and I got pregnant and then lost the baby in July. And I remember we launched Stolen as part of the 1998 season at Playbox, as it was then. And I remember saying, well, I'm not a member of the Stolen Generations, but as a mother who's just lost a child, I have, you know, those set of emotions to draw upon. So, yeah, they're all kind of tangled up in one, that whole year of sorrow.
Why do you think there is such a... And you were very careful not to refer to it as a taboo. It's not quite that. But it is this kind of silence.
Silence, yeah.
Around miscarriage and stillbirth. Why do you think we find it so hard to talk about?
It's when it happened to me, all of a sudden these stories came out of the woodwork. I was living in the country and the postie around the corner had had 7 miscarriages or stillbirth, and she had one child that I actually played netball with on a mixed team. But they only came up when my experience was made known. So I think people just don't want to talk about something that's so sad, and they don't want to spoil other people's... I mean, every time I see a pregnant woman, I'm not going to talk about stillbirth as an outcome, although there's 6 stillbirths per day in Australia, almost 2,000 a year. And in fact, it's 35 times more common than a SIDS death, a sudden infant death syndrome death. So, and also in terms of Aboriginal women, I read a statistic that says almost double. I mean, it's hard to get really accurate figures, but almost double that of non-Indigenous women. So, I don't know. I think it's so sad, and brings me back to going back for the research for Stolen, when I think it was Protector of Aborigines, misnomer if ever there was one, Neville, who said about the women who had their children removed back in the 1930s in WA, he said the mothers soon forget. But I think what he didn't understand, that culturally you don't mention the person who's died. People change their names traditionally. So I think there's also cultural reasons why perhaps these things are not spoken about. But in terms of the wider community, I mean, another woman I met at the time, no one had ever asked her baby's name, and it had happened 40 years before.
But you chose the name, Evangeline. Beautiful name.
Yes, it is a beautiful name. And Evangeline's still spoken about in our family. And indeed, my naughty daughter got her first tattoo, and it was Evangeline, which she put under her heart, near her heart. So she's part of our life, really.
And it's important that we don't forget them. I mean, I want to share a bit of a personal story about this. And I'm not a woman, and I can never be, and I can never experience this kind of loss, a mother's loss. But I experienced it vicariously because my mother had to what I would consider one miscarriage and a stillbirth.
Mm.
And it's hard to get the facts straight because my mum passed away 10 years ago. And but my belief is that one was a stillbirth and quite late in the day in terms of her pregnancy.
Mm.
And when she died, I had to give the eulogy, which, you know, sons and daughters have to do. It's the last thing you want to do, but you have to do it.
Yes.
When I gave the eulogy, I described it as maybe unacknowledged, the scar that she would bear for the rest of her life, and a wound to her soul that she never could heal from.
Mm.
And it was part of the wound was that no one really allowed her to.
Yes.
No one really listened to her when she told that story. I did. I was stuck at home a lot because I was a really sick kid.
Mm.
And she would tell me, and I felt it very keenly, and I still to this day feel it very keenly, what this means when it happens, and it's continued to happen in my family.
Yes.
The loss of babies. And, you know, the line is, when someone dies, you don't know what to say.
Well, absolutely.
But when a baby goes, whatever stage of that pregnancy, it is just so hard to find those words. And that's because my mother gave me a really keen sense of what it is when a mother loses her child.
Yes, and it is, you know, such an embodied experience, you know, literally, because you're growing that child in your body, and you're feeling that child move, and as well as all the hopes and dreams you have for that child. You know, I looked at Evie when she was born, and she was 8 pound 8, the same birth weight as my first child, and she had sort of golden brown hair, and she had a buffy face like me. She didn't look like the other two, who looked more like their father. And, you know, you kind of think, oh, she would have been my little netballer. She would have been the one that liked reading like I do. You kind of have this projection for them. And all that comes to a very abrupt ending. And you're sort of at loss. I don't think I'd thought about stillbirth before, because I'd had one pregnancy right through. I'd never considered it, but and yet I didn't feel that I could say why me, because I realised at the time how common it was. And so it wasn't just me, it was a lot of people, and worse stories than mine, harder stories than mine, I think, especially for women who, if it's their first birth, first pregnancy, that must be so devastating. At least I had my little 2.5-year-old to distract me.
When you read from the short story, you talk about the hue of the sky and the colour of the jacaranda. That's you?
It is very much my story, but it's really interesting. We had one workshop with the material, and I had an actor playing the role of Maggie. And once it's on the floor, I feel a distance from it, because the job then is to make it the best play that I can make it. It's not to be attached to any particular aspect of my story. So, you know, I don't feel like the actor has to portray me or look like me or have any of my mannerisms. I think it was daunting for the actor at that time to think that the person whose experience it is in the room. But I'm quite detached from it at that point because, yeah, my job is to make it the best play I can in order to honour everyone's stories.
Very magnanimous words, Jane Harrison, very magnanimous. And, you know, we can put in creative people, in talking about their own experiences, using those as a place to begin to talk about a more collective experience. It involves too some distance, and that's what you've just described, professional distance from what is your own, you know, essentially the nub of your own story. And then seeing it performed and realised by, you know, actors and, you know, director and all the rest, you know, and
yes,
lighting
and
designers and the theatre, the people, the theatre professionals.
Yes.
You can put that safe distance between you and this, you know, traumatic event.
Yes. But, you know, for a reason, I think, because it's not about my ego, then it's about giving people the chance to sort of have that experience in the safety of a theatre and have a conversation. I mean, that's really what I try and do with the things I write, get people talking.
The playwright Jane Harrison, and we were talking about her new play, Born Still, which is being workshopped at the National Play Festival in Sydney later this month. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can see a play reading of Born Still on Wednesday the 21st of March and Saturday the 24th at the Eternity Playhouse on Burton Street in Darlinghurst.